Welcome to Washington in Focus. I'm Cole McNeely, General Manager of America's Talking Network. Joining me today is the Center Square's Managing Editor, Cole Lauterbach. Cole, you have a great name, and you put out a couple great stories this week at thecentersquare.com. In the state of Washington, we have, I'm going to call it a controversy, and I think it's fair to call it that. There is a story up there and some allegations made by a former state economist, Scott Smith, regarding the carbon auction, which has been a big discussion here in Washington in Focus and in the state of Washington. What's going on here, and what are these allegations that Smith has made?
Hey, Cole. Yeah, it actually, to start back at the beginning, this whole thing started with an economist, Scott Smith. He's a 64-year-old Tumwater resident. He's the state economist for the Department of Transportation. He literally is a revenue estimator and has done so for decades, starting out with most recently for the state of Washington, but he did so also for New Mexico. And during the push for the Climate Commitment Act, while it was still a bill, Smith did what he does. He did the math and estimated that the carbon auction would result in a 40 to 50 cent increase in the cost for a gallon of gasoline. Now, this ran afoul with what Inslee and others that supported the CCA were saying. They said there was going to be no cost change to the gallon of gas in Washington. If anything, Inslee said maybe pennies was the term he used. And just most recently, Smith filed a complaint, a whistleblower complaint, that said management, quote, would prefer that at the time when he tried to speak up, that he not use the cap and trade surcharges and include them in his quarterly fuel price forecast, which is what he's done for years for multiple states. Now, when he says management, he was under the impression that that meant Amber Colson, the Department of Transportation's financial and planning manager, and Eric Hansen, who was in the governor's office. They were the ones that did not want him to speak up. They went so far as to tell him not to include any of this language that would be searchable in emails to avoid Open Records Act requests. And after this whole thing went down internally, he got forced into early retirement, according to his allegations. Now, when the story came out, Inslee's office really didn't say much. They actually tried to browbeat a Seattle TV station into dropping the story. But a day later, they gave a little bit more elaborate statement saying that Smith was a disgruntled employee. Managers had what they said, no recollection of his price projections. Now, the complaint will force anything with a digital footprint to come into light. The Center Square spoke with Andrew Barkus, who's the ranking GOP member on the House Transportation Committee. He said he knew about this complaint just a couple days before it was filed. And he said that the fireworks could start in what's called discovery, in a lawsuit where the state would have to turn over documents, any type of emails or any type of evidence that they've been told to retain that could be pertinent to Smith's retaliation whistleblower case.
Yeah. And Cole, so you kind of pointed out there, correct me if I'm wrong, but it sounds like at best deceitful and at worst they were asking Smith to, lie, fudge the numbers. Is that a fair way to characterize this, or is that maybe a step too far?
Well, according to Smith's complaint, the term they used was, quote, Jimmy the numbers, which is very New Jersey, mobster style language. But it was a specific request for him to not speak up and say, as a state, revenue expert, of which he's done for decades, that he thinks this is going to lead, the carbon auction is going to lead to a 40 to 50%, 50 cent per gallon cost increase to a gallon of gasoline for Washington drivers. And it turned out he was right. And at the time, when it was still being bandied about, Barkus and others said that they were shouting this from the rooftops and no one else spoke up. The state was pretty uniform in its denial of that, saying this is not going to make gas prices skyrocket. It's just simply not. And if his allegations, in discovery are found to be true, that they did censor him, that is the very crux of this controversy, and that you have a state worker just trying to do his job. We spoke with Barkas and he said that, you know, the price projection really didn't shock him because they had economists saying the same thing. But what he was shocked about was that if it's found true, you have state managers censoring an employee who's simply trying to do what Smith referred to as sixth grade math in his complaint.
And so, so ultimately, you have a situation where the allegation is government officials, I would say, having a desire to not let facts get in the way of politics. I mean, that's kind of the crux of this, of policy goals that they want to get through. And obviously, this has created, as you mentioned, among lawmakers, quite a discussion. Has this impacted at all the sustainability, the livelihood of this carbon tax?
Well, it's certainly created a lot more discussion. You've got lawmakers, there's even a Democrat who's pre-filed a bill that would significantly alter the carbon auction, which to this point is brought in for the state well over $1.5 billion. The cost of these carbon auction credits in Washington are coming out as at significantly higher prices compared to similar auctions in California and Quebec, which those two are tied. They're linked. And the state of Washington is also trying to link as well. And to do that, they're going to have to pare back a lot of the progressive environmental protections in the carbon auction that a lot of progressive groups and a lot of environmentalist groups are up in arms about because they don't want to give up those protections that they fought hard for. But Brett Davis, our Washington editor, found in one of the reports early on that they not only want to link to California and Quebec to make the auction more stable and stabilize the price, they also are warning that standalone, the carbon auction might be crushed under the weight of its own prices, where they said that the viability of the carbon auction standing alone in Washington might not be enough to sustain it, where it would fall under, it would fail. And that is kind of the side reason behind linking. And meanwhile, you've got now a certified ballot initiative that a businessman in Washington had submitted over almost 420,000 signatures for. That if it's successful, it's got to go through the legislature. If they approve it, it nullifies the carbon auction. They likely won't approve it. So then it goes to the ballot in 2024. 50% plus one, the carbon auction goes away. So there are real questions moving forward about how lawmakers and the governor's office are going to react and possibly pivot on any of these things that could change the future of the state's carbon auction.
Well, listeners can keep up with this story. And Mark Cole, has anybody called this Carbon Gate yet, or will I be a first that you know of?
Carbon Gate, Carbon Water. I don't know.
There you go. All right. Hey, think about different ways we could frame this controversy that would be catchy. Because again, I think there will be plenty of more stories following up on this in the days, weeks, months to come. The carbon auction has been a big discussion in the state of Washington. Again, you can keep up with all those stories and more at thecentersquare.com. For Cole Lauterbach, I'm Cole McNeely. Please subscribe and thank you for listening. Are you tired of news that puts politics over people? At the nonprofit Franklin News Foundation, we believe in putting people over politics by delivering nonpartisan news and audio content that serves you, the American taxpayer. With Franklin News Foundation, you can read fact-based, state-focused news for free at thecentersquare.com. You can listen to civil, balanced conversations between policy experts through our podcast network at americastalking.com. Or you can get in-depth news on K-12 education spending, curriculum, and school safety at chalkboardnews.com. It's all free through Franklin, where we put you, the American taxpayer, first in every story, episode, and conversation. And it's only possible through our supporters. Together, we can produce content that puts people over politics and brings Americans the news they deserve. Become a supporter today at franklinnews.org/donate. Once again, that's franklinnews.org/donate.